The road is long.
My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love thee, and I beg pardon for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love thee. That, of course, is the beautiful prayer that the Angel of Peace, the Angel of Portugal, taught the three children, Saint Francisco, Saint Jacinta, and Lucia, in 1916 at Fatima. It's an absolutely beautiful prayer. When I go out to Titirangi to adoration, I sometimes just say that prayer over quietly in front of the tabernacle over and over for an hour, two, or even three. And it is absolutely beautiful. It's my silent prayer just to myself, but I find it very, very healing and very relaxing. And sometimes I add, and for those who do not believe, do not adore, and do not love thee, especially those in my own extended family, because of course we all have many, many extended family members who were raised Catholic, who have fallen away from the faith. Monsignor Cronin used to call them resting Catholics, because of course once a Catholic, always a Catholic. And this new evangelization which the Church is talking about, well, it's not a new evangelization. The first thing we really have to do is re-evangelize the people, particularly those in our own family who have fallen away. Because you will have heard me mention some time when talking about Fatima, the very famous interview in 1957 between Father Fuentes and Sister Lucia, when she explained that we are responsible for everyone around us. For example, when the children on the 13th of July 1917 were shown just for a few split seconds hell, Our Lady explained that people go to hell because they have no one to pray for them. And so in that 1957 interview, she explained that we are responsible for everyone in our family and our extended family, and we will be either saved together or damned together. So don't ever stop praying for people. And in fact, Monsignor Cronin, again, I love quoting him. I remember in a sermon he once said, there is life that you have been praying for, and you must never stop praying for them, because you may be the only person praying for that person. And without your prayers, they may never come to see our Lord face to face in their eternal life. And through your prayers, they will be saved. And that really struck me at the time, and particularly as I was actually praying for someone, and I do to this very day continue praying for that particular person, not a family member, but someone who I just felt needed prayers. And in fact, we all need prayers. So always pray for one another, saved together or damned together. Okay, now last week I was reading from a gorgeous little booklet called The Seven Daily Habits for Faithful Catholics. And in a way, many of the habits could be for any Christians who love our Lord. And it's a free booklet from the Mary Foundation, and you can go online and have a look. It's called CatholicCity.com, and the author, Father John McCloskey. And it's a very famous little book. You can get lots of them sent to you. You can make a donation. I'm sure they'd be very happy about that. But it's the sort of book leave around in a church, leave around for your family to have a look at. Once you pick it up, it's quite addictive, and it certainly makes sense. As Father said, it's more important than meals, sleep, and work. Because at the end of the day, why did Jesus create you? He created us to know, love, and serve him in this world and to be happy with him forever in the next. And so in a way, Jesus puts us, or God puts us down to earth, and then he says, okay, find your way home. And as parents of Catholic children, it is our responsibility to get these little jewels, these precious jewels that God has lent us, home. And in a way, if our children become astronauts and prime ministers and whatever, and they lose their eternal life, we've failed. It does not matter. So you start from a very, very early age teaching them virtue, all the gifts and fruits of the Holy Spirit, kindness, understanding, you know, generosity, all the good things that you need. If you tell me that your children play three instruments, I'm sorry, but I'm not very impressed. If I see your children are beautiful, kind, caring, I'm impressed, because you've done something right. So these are seven daily habits of faithful Catholics. Now, we didn't finish the whole thing, but I'll just read it. I'll back up a little bit and read sort of a précis of some of the things that Father said. So there are various ways to come to know Jesus. We are going to speak briefly about some of them in this little booklet, and you want to come to know, love, and serve Jesus the same way that you learn to love and stay in love with anybody, your spouse, family members, children, close friends, namely by spending a considerable amount of time with Jesus on a daily basis. So what are these seven habits? They are the morning offering, spiritual reading, the rosary, Holy Communion, mental prayer, the Angelus, and a re-examination of conscience. As Father said, they're more important than meals, sleep, and work. And Father wanted to stress, before going over the habits, that remember that growing in these daily habits, just like taking on a diet or a physical exercise program, you've got to do it gradually. You don't just jump in after a couple of lessons and start playing Mozart. So you have to start slowly, and if you don't, you will probably fall away and become despondent. So just start one at a time. So the first habit we mentioned last week is the morning offering. So this is a habit of offering your entire day for God's glory. You can use your own words, or you can have a memorized prayer. But what has to happen before your offering is crucial. As Saint Jose Maria explained, so you've got to conquer yourself in the very first moment. So the moment you wake up on that very dot at a set time, you know, don't sleep in one day and whatever. Just say, okay, I'm going to go to sleep at a certain time, I'm going to wake up at a certain time, and the moment you wake up, don't succumb to laziness and just get straight out of bed. And so that will be your first thing that you have accomplished for the day. You've conquered yourself in that moment, and you've overcome a feeling of, let's just lie on a bit longer. No. Now, Father said that in his experience, those who get a full night's rest and conquer that little heroic minute in the morning, the very first moment when they wake up, will have both physical and spiritual wherewithal throughout the day to incorporate the seven habits into their daily routine. The second one was 15 minutes of silent prayer. So this is a beautiful habit, and you can pray for at least 15 minutes in silence, and eventually you might actually want to do another 15 minutes perhaps later in the day. But after all, who will not desire even more time with such excellent company like Jesus? So prayer, what is prayer? It's actually simply a conversation with Jesus. And we should really start from a very, very early age teaching our children and even our grandchildren mental prayer. And it's just a conversation. I've got one of my grandchildren, and I have taught them that, you know, if you're ever feeling a little bit unhappy or whatever, you just go off to your room and you kneel down and you say, "Dear Jesus, I'm not feeling very happy. Can you give me your joy?" And the other day, this child was a little bit grumpy, for I knew it. They had gone off to their bedroom, and I went to the bedroom. They had closed all the curtains. The bedroom was in darkness. They were kneeling on the floor. And when I went into the room, "Go away, I'm saying my prayers." It was very cute and very funny. So this child is very young, three, but they get it. They absolutely understand the power of prayer with Jesus. The third one was receiving Holy Communion. So, of course, the habit of going to daily Mass is probably central to our lives. I have to admit, I used to go to daily Mass every day, going back quite a few years ago, and I used to get the children dressed. Mass was at 7 o'clock in the morning. I'd have all the tables set, everything was ready, and the children would be in their school uniform and just play around in the crying room. And then after Mass, just half an hour, we'd quickly go back home, have breakfast, and everything was ready, and off they went to school. And it was a beautiful habit and something that worked in very easily with the family. It was the first thing that I knew I had to do every day. The fourth habit is 15 minutes of spiritual reading. Now, this is very, very important to do spiritual reading, and that, you know, very uplifting Catholic books, particularly books about the lives of the saints, that can be really fulfilling. I mentioned last week that when St. Ignatius, who had been a soldier and not a particularly good Catholic, was injured, he had to recuperate and he didn't know what to do. But his family had a whole lot of books on the lives of the saints, and so he worked his way through them and decided then that he had to go off and seek God. And, of course, he became the founder of that great Counter-Reformation force, the Jesuits, and Pope Francis is a Jesuit, the first Jesuit Pope. So St. Ignatius of Loyola, because he did reading, went on to be a very great saint. Now, also it's got there about praying the Angelus, and of course the Rosary every day. Our Lady asked us at Fatima to pray the Rosary every day, and she told the children that she was making it even more powerful, especially for these times, because we live in very troubled times, there's no doubt about it. We have such sadness and trauma in people's lives through the breakdown of families, well, particularly the breakdown of marriage, and this compounds. I mean, don't think for a minute that family breakup does not impact on children, and that then impacts on the next generation, etc., etc. So, yes, the breakdown of families is a huge cross today. So the Angelus is a little habit. It only takes a few minutes, but we stop in the middle of our activities, and at noon we can say a prayer to our Blessed Mother. And it's a custom that goes back centuries. It's just a beautiful thing. I have a friend, and you can guarantee wherever we are, he will stop. Oh, right, midday, 6 o'clock, Angelus. And it's lovely. It just brings you back, and you realise, yes, I'm a Catholic. Doesn't matter what I'm doing, I'm a Catholic. And as I said, praying the Rosary. So this helps us focus on Our Lady, and we meditate on the mysteries, which are, in essence, they provide a survey of the life of our Lord and our Lady. The first mystery is the joyful mysteries, and those are about Jesus's early life up until the age of 12. Then you have the luminous mysteries, which are Jesus's time from the age of 30 to the time he died. Then you have the sorrowful mysteries, where it's about the passion of Christ. And then you have the glorious mysteries, which is from Jesus' resurrection to Our Lady being crowned Queen of Heaven. So here's what Saint Louis-Marie de Montfort said about the rosary. If you say the rosary faithfully until death, I do assure you that, in spite of the gravity of your sins, you shall receive a never-ending crown of glory. Even if you are on the brink of damnation, even if you have one foot in hell, even if you have sold your soul to the devil, and even if you are a heretic as obstinate as the devil, sooner or later you will be converted and will amend your life and will save your soul. If, and mark well what I say, if you say the Holy Rosary devoutly every day until death for the purpose of knowing the truth and obtaining contrition and pardon for your sins. Now, the rosary is a habit that, once acquired, is difficult to break. By repeating words of love to our Blessed Mother and offering up each rosary for our intentions, we take a shortcut to Jesus by passing through the heart of his mother. Nowadays, many Christians find it helpful to pray along with a recording. For example, the late Saint John Paul II made a recording of his singing of the rosary, and I like to listen to that sometimes. It's quite beautiful, and I just sing along with him. I don't really know Latin, but it's really quite gorgeous. There's lots of CDs about the rosary, and certainly it really does help in meditation. Okay, it is time for Divine Mercy. Now, this is a shortened version of the beautiful prayer that our Lord gave Saint Faustina. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, the only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Now, if you're pregnant and worried, there's a fantastic organisation in Auckland, Mount Roskill South, actually, Richardson Road, called Family Life International. And they, I'm sure, you give them a ring or go online and just have a look. Family Life International, FLI. And they can meet all of your needs, I'm sure. There's counselling, there is practical help. They can even accommodate you if you have nowhere to stay. There's one lady who's living with us at the moment. So from baby clothes to bassinets, cots, prams, buggies, car seats, all sorts of things, you name it. Give them a ring and I'm sure they'll be able to help. Okay, we've just got a few minutes left. So praying the rosary was the sixth habit, and the seventh habit was to examine your conscience. So the seventh habit is to make a brief examination of your conscience at the end of the day, before bedtime. You find a quiet place and then call upon the Holy Spirit for insight. So take a few minutes to go over your day in God's presence and ask if you behaved as a true child of God at home, at work, and with your friends. You should also review the one particular area you have identified, perhaps with the help of your spiritual advisor, which must be improved in order to become a saint. Next, ask yourself if you have been faithful to the seven daily habits described in this booklet. Conclude with an act of gratitude for all the good you have done and an act of contrition for those areas in which you have willfully failed. Then take your well-deserved rest, drifting off to sleep while conversing with Jesus and our Mother Mary. Virtually everyone that develops this habit finds it enjoyable, relaxing and liberating. And with God, you are clearing your mind and cleaning the slate for the following morning. Although it is desperately simple and only takes a few minutes, the power of this habit to produce immediate, tangible results will be dramatic and pleasing. So if we take an honest account of our day, no matter how you have been or how busy, you will usually find that you have wasted time. I'm certainly guilty of that, I know. Consider skipping that extra cup of coffee so you can visit the Blessed Sacrament for 10 minutes before work. And perhaps you can forgo an hour or more wasted on watching television or Facebook or surfing the net. And most of us pray a rosary during our commute and still have plenty of time left over to listen to the radio or call friends. Well, we can all substitute spiritual reading for some of our online or newspaper reading. So can you sacrifice some of your lunch hour to have time for noon mass? And the point is, if you make loving God your highest priority, the time is already there during your busy day. But don't be discouraged. You know, as I said, you'll do it. You'll slip back a bit. Just try them slowly, and bit by bit, I'm sure you will add them on until eventually you do the seven habits. So that's what I'm trying to do. So a few years from now, your life and the lives of those you love will be dramatically transformed, because Jesus will be able to form you more powerfully several times a day, every day, month after month, year after year. And that is so true. Once again, we're going to finish the program. We always run out of time with that beautiful group, the priests.